Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching, and welcome to a little, this is actually starting to turn into a small back to school series.
A little one.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Marie. We can't help ourselves. Back to school is an exciting season.
It is an exciting season, and it can be overdone. So we just thought, why not pile on, you know?
Well, for our purposes, we definitely went back into the history logs of what we've talked about and just decided to do some more realistic chat rather than telling you how to set everything up and how to organize it, what to do. This is like a more laid back, hey, we got your back kind of.
I mean, you're inundated with all of that. I'm inundated with all of that. And so we've had things on our separate channels. Amanda's over on Mud and Ink Teaching. I'm at the Caffeinated Classroom, where we're talking about like specific classroom setup and beginning of the year strategies. Absolutely. And we're now just kind of looking into, hey, let's talk about this from like a more global standpoint of like just teacher to teacher. Here is what I go through, have been through, can anticipate, et cetera.
If you didn't hear yet, last week we talked about our sassy, unbridled, unpopular opinions about back to school things. And today we're going to talk about mistakes that we've made. So we are definitely turning up the heat in terms of the conversation.
Less business
and more teacher to teacher conversation.
Well, because this stuff is important. This is some of the like chit chat that you just don't necessarily quote unquote have time for, right? That like is extremely important to be able to share these sorts of things. This is the kind of stuff that you would talk about, you know, in a well functioning and healthy environment of a lunch conversation, perhaps with colleagues, if you have the bandwidth for it, but not everybody has that. So we are.
Are you describing something that even exists? Who's ever been in a lunchroom with teachers that was highly functional and a safe space?
Me.
That's so, don't ever leave, because honestly,
I don't plan on it.
I know that, but I mean, I can't even recall I hid in my classroom. We've talked about that before too. Like, I don't advocate hiding either. It's not a good plan, but toxic lunchrooms are a problem.
I mean, they're definitely, our dynamics can definitely get a little bit like, whoa, we went to a weird place, didn't we? But, and I know that this is a unicorn situation. Like I know that, I value it, all of it, but I also know hasn't always been like that for me. So like, I've taught in other departments, even on my one campus, and we've had, you know, turnover. One's like, a dessert, like though.
Yeah.
No, oh, but both. That's a turn. Oh, they're both the same.
They're both the same thing. I'm like, apple turnover sounds really good.
I know. I thought about pie just now. It sounds so good.
So, I like this is exactly what it's like at lunch with teachers.
But really, this is it. Yeah. So friends, we have got some mistakes that we have made, how that went for us, and just, you know, moments of forewarning for you. Let's get into it.
Four of them. We got four of them.
We have four of them, and we're excited to get into it. But first, let's cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. podcast about things that we have done professionally, personally, that looking back, we go, okay, sweetie, that was something, wasn't it? And today is no exception. Let's talk about some mistakes that we have made in the classroom, specifically for back to school season, because there's like a lot that goes into back to school. And you would think, I'm going into my 17th year in the classroom, you would think that like at a certain point, you just kind of go, whatever, it's another first day of school. But at least for me and for many of the people who I talk to, it's still, no matter how many years you have in the classroom, you're still having those back to school dreams. You're still, even if you're not nervous, I don't get nervous for the first day of school, but I get excited. Like, it's a different, I'm going to be fine. I could stand up there and do my, you know, impromptu stand-up comedy routine, which is just talking to me in front of kids on the first day of school. And they're going to leave and be like, I need to change classes. This is too much. But I'm not nervous. I'm just kind of there and excited.
Well, I can be the first to confess. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. And this might even be like the number one mistake anybody could make. I challenge people to, you know, come at me on Instagram if you want to, and we can talk about this. But the number one mistake I made, even as a veteran, sometimes I still made this, but especially as a new teacher, was listening to other teachers tell me about my incoming students.
Yep.
It is, and it was, a huge mistake. Now, a lot of times teachers are doing this to try to be helpful. Mm-hmm. And I have found that that is not the helpful information that I need. That is a very nuanced relationship that they're describing that will not necessarily be the relationship that I have with that student. Now, have I ever talked to a counselor or another teacher asking questions?
Yes.
Once I've met the student?
There's a difference. Yes.
But there's a difference. Have you made that mistake?
Yes. I've also been on the other side of it and made the mistake of like saying, oh my gosh, I love that kid, like, or whatever it is. Like, and then that kid and that teacher who I talk to do not have that interaction. They do not have that relationship. And the teacher's like, are you kidding me? That child did blah, blah, blah. And I go, what? My darling little angel. And then I think to myself, I go, oh no, I can see where they could do that.
Right.
But we have a different rapport. So they're not pulling that crap on me, or they did pull that crap on me. And I said, not today, Satan, or ever. Right. And it's a different rapport and it's a different relationship. And so I have like not poisoned the well, but I've like overinflated the well. And that teacher was like, that was not what happened to the kid. And I was like, oh, sorry.
It ends up being entirely unhelpful in that it gets you in your head for better and for worse, right? And that's, it's always been for me a much better experience with a blank slate. There are a handful of scenarios where it was helpful to get a heads up about a kid, whether it was like a physical need in the classroom, like
an emotional need in the classroom, right? Yes.
Sure. But usually that information wasn't coming from their last year's English teacher. It was coming from a case manager. Uh-huh. A counselor, or like somebody in a different space to talk about that student. But I remember we used to compare rosters, and it was just not healthy.
You're not alone. You're not alone.
It was not healthy.
Well, and part of it does come from a place of, it really does, I have to believe, come from a place of trying to serve the kid. Because if you think about the way that a lot of elementary schools build their class lists, it's looking at social aspects, it's looking at where kids are skill-wise, emotionally, and making sure that that one teacher doesn't get all the kids who never went to preschool, right? And like they're all, or whatever it is. I mean, that was a really bizarre and hyper-specific example, but I can see where then that's like our intention. I'm going to believe that that's always our intention. But it's just, you need to be able to build your own relationships with kids. And no matter what, we are human beings. We are flawed. Therefore, we will have bias. Like, there is no way around it. And so you want to be able to have your own undiluted opinions as much as you can. But at the same time, like, as the mom of a kiddo on an IEP, right? On an IEP for reading and writing, they're going to need to talk. ahead of time. Like her teachers are going to need to know some things because they're going to notice that like she looks like she's paying attention and then she can't answer the questions because she does not know what's going on. She cannot read the directions, right? Like that's right. So like you said, caveats, but for the most part, we're talking about, oh, that kid, and then you're like, what's wrong with him? He's fine.
Well, and like your example is a great example. Like, and I like reading through an IEP with a case manager, I think is a healthy thing to do before school starts. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think most of it can wait until like the fourth, fifth, sixth day of school when you've gotten the vibe, you know?
Yeah.
I remember one of the reasons I used to do it was to help me with my seating chart on day one. I would be like, okay, who should I put together and who should I keep away from each other? Mm-hmm. And it turns out everything changes over the summer.
Oh,
anyway,
yes.
With no, their the world social, is- oh,
yeah, completely
anew. I was not solving problems. I was creating more for myself because then my master plan went to crap. So it was
yeah, stupid. Best of intentions, but like, no, big fat mistake. Absolutely.
Big fat mistake. Okay, okay. Your turn.
You wrote them down and I don't remember. Oh, okay. I was just so in the moment, you see.
Oh, okay. Well, you talked with me a little bit before we started recording about number two on our list, which was having way too big of an overview.
Oh, yes. At the get-go. So, okay, I'm the queen of this. And like, basically, again, it started from a good intention. I give way too much information to children at the beginning of school. Like even, not even day one. Day one, I don't really give them that much stuff. But like day three, maybe, like the first Friday of school, because we start on a Wednesday, I like to give an overview of the year, which I think is fine in moderation of like, this is what we're going to be looking at. But like, I have made the mistake of getting into a calendar and looking with them. This goes back to last week's episode where I was talking about the syllabus and why I think that a syllabus in the traditional sense is unnecessary. Like they don't need to know all the things. They just need to know a general idea of what's coming. Because when you give them all the things, immediate overwhelm or tune out because of overwhelm or like, right. You're just, it's over before it began.
And what do you expect to get back from them? You know, like, oh, cool. This is really like, what
you know what? I am so excited to write that research paper. I am so glad we're doing that. Like
January.
Forget Christmas. I can't wait for January because of my research project.
Yeah. Sometimes I forget that I'm not my own student because sitting there as I can remember going to classes the first day of school in high school and I would drool over the classes that gave me way too much information. I loved it. I love to be overwhelmed with all the things and to know the whole plan and to see everything in motion.
No, same. Yes.
But that's not most people.
No, that's not most kids. Exactly. And that honestly wasn't me.
Most kids.
That wasn't even me in high school. That was me in college when I had a little bit more autonomy and I knew I was responsible for all these things. I wanted to know what was coming. But a lot of that came from my anxiety of like, I need to know what's coming.
100%.
Well, did I? Not really.
No. But we, so those of you guys who are in our happy hour membership, we mitigated this problem for you way back in June, because in June we talked about the first day of school and the first mm-hmm. couple days of school, because I think one of the ways to avoid the overwhelm, but still deliver the information, we talked a lot about the power of stations, because students can move through that information at their own pace. You could pick and choose what information belongs at stations. And so don't forget, happy hour members, to go back to your resource library and grab that June resource, because Marie shared her back to school first day stations. I have a blog post, but I don't actually have resources. So make sure that you go get that. And if you're not a happy hour member, you can always purchase them. They're on our happy hour website, which will be linked in the show notes. We warned you this was coming. Okay. We knew it. We knew you were going to feel the need to dump all the things on the kids. And we're warning you again, not to do it.
Yes. Because we've done it before.
It didn't go well.
Yes. It didn't, or it did for like a minute. And then it was like, gosh, I'm exhausted. And now I'm overwhelmed. Oh, I have to start day two. Okay.
Well, and then you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't decided what I'm doing in April, but I have to give my syllabus tomorrow, so I have to decide. Because what will happen if the kid, and I make that silly voice because I am seeing myself. I am not mocking a single one of you listeners. I see myself.
Myself hyperventilating. Yes, exactly.
Today's Read Aloud with Amanda is brought to you by Audible. And I know that you know how important audiobooks are in our classrooms, but what you may have forgotten is how important they are for you. As English teachers, we need to be reading more than we have time to actually be reading. So entering audiobooks into your reading life is a vital tool for survival. Anytime I get a chance, I have my earphones in and I am listening to a book. And here at BNT, we have an amazing free trial of Audible to share with you. You're going to head to audibletrial.com/BNT. And when you get to this page, you are going to have a free 30-day trial. That comes with one credit, which is good for any book you want, right? So completely get started for free. Listen to a book, see how it goes for you. You're also going to have access to the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts and audiobooks. All kinds of original pieces are going to be there waiting for you. And you will be reminded before your trial ends. So there's not going to be any gotcha going on here. We would love for you to let us know how it goes. Give Audible a try today. And I'm going to read aloud for you a book that I listened to on Audible. And I know that you're going to love it as well. So thank you, Audible, for sponsoring Read Alouds with Amanda. Today, we are going to read aloud from a book that I put off for a long time. And I've talked about this on one of the episodes, but I want to read you a passage from Beartown. For whatever reason, Beartown got presented to me as a sports book, right? This is a book about hockey. And that was enough for me to be like, meh, it's not on the top of my TBR. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And I don't know who to blame for this, really. So if it was you, I'm coming after you, but I really don't know. I'm sure I just got it in my head from some reviews or one thing or another. But let me tell you, if you've ever thought, I don't need to read Beartown, I don't really care about hockey. Yes, hockey does happen in the story, but it is on the periphery of so much more. The literary merit of this novel is incredible. The engagement, the wide cast of characters are fascinating. Your students are absolutely bound to find somebody in this story that they fall in love with. And so I want to read for you an excerpt from the very beginning of the novel to give you a feel for the style and how it feels. So without further ado, Read Aloud with Amanda. Welcome to Beartown by Friedrich Bachmann. Late one evening toward the end of March, a teenager picked up a double-barreled shotgun, walked into the forest, put the gun to someone else's forehead, and pull the trigger. This is the story of how we got there. Bang, 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 bang. It's a Friday in early March in Beartown, and nothing has happened yet. Everyone is waiting. Tomorrow, the Beartown Ice Hockey Club's junior team is playing in the semifinal of the biggest youth tournament in the country. How important can something like that be? In most places, not so important, of course. But Beartown isn't most places. Bang, 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 bang. The town wakes early, like it does every day. Small towns need a head start if they're going to have any chance in the world. The rows of cars in the parking lot outside the factory are already covered with snow. People are standing in silent lines with their eyes half open and their minds half closed, waiting for the electronic punch cards to verify their existence to the clocking in machine. They stamp the slush off their boots with autopilot eyes and answering machine voices while they wait for their drug of choice, caffeine or nicotine or sugar, to kick in and render their bodies at least tolerably functional under the first break. Out on the road, the commuters set off for bigger towns beyond the forest. Their gloves slam against heating vents, and their curses are the sort you only think of uttering when you're drunk, dying, or sitting in a far too cold Peugeot far too early in the morning. If they keep quiet, they can hear in the distance, bang, 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 bang. Maya wakes up and stays in bed, playing her guitar. The walls of her room are covered in a mixture of pencil drawings and tickets she's saved from concerts she's been to in cities far from here. Nowhere near as many as she would have liked, but considerably more than her parents actually consented to. She loves everything about her guitar, its weight against her body, the way the wood responds when her fingertips tap it, the strings that cut hard against her skin, the simple notes, the gentle riffs. It's all a wonderful game to her. She's 15 years old and has already fallen in love many times, but her guitar will always be her first love. It's helped her to put up with living in this town, to deal with being the daughter of the general manager of an ice hockey team in the forest. She hates hockey, but understands her father's love for it. The sport is just a different instrument from hers. Her mom sometimes whispers in her daughter's ear, "Never trust people who don't have something in their lives that they love beyond all reason." Her mom loves a man who loves a place that loves a game. This is a hockey town, and there are plenty of things you can say about those, but at least they're predictable. You know what to expect if you live here, day after day after day. I hope you loved this read aloud with Amanda, and you can listen to so many more books using Audible. You are going to love your Audible free trials. Just go give it a shot. See how it goes. Maybe Beartown will be your first read. I don't know, but I think you should go for it. Head to audibletrial.com/BNT to give it a shot. And thank you for listening today. Feel free to let us know if you are teaching Beartown, if you're offering your classroom library, or where you see Beartown in your future.
All right, Amanda, tell me your next.
Okay, number mistake. Three on the list. Yeah, this is number three. So we got four. This is number three. Pacing. I feel like I hit
that was a hard,
really hard. I did.
Yeah, good enunciation.
Well, so here's my problem with pacing, especially when we're talking about the beginning of the year. I have made mistakes in going in too hot, like trying to get started with curriculum way too fast, and mistakes with pacing of going too slow.
Oh my gosh. And so yes.
If you are in the season of your career where you're trying to figure out where your sweet spot is, I get you, because it does take a few years to get. And this also, PS, resets if you're teaching a new course, because every new course has the same problem at
That's
the beginning.
That's what I was just going to say. It's not. And so my mistake is like layered into that of like, I have made the assumption that because I've been teaching, you know, a decade and a half or like whatever, a decade at the time that I was really doing this over and over again, just because I know how to teach and just because I know how to design curriculum and just because doesn't mean that I have this particular piece of pacing on lock, because I keep teaching different things each year. Yeah. I keep having a different teaching assignment, or I've gone through the curriculum rehab process on my stuff. And like, I haven't done this with kids yet. It hasn't been vetted. And you have to do the same thing a few times to refine it. That's just how it is.
It takes practice. And so the problem for me with going too fast into curriculum are a couple of things. One, I feel like my class rosters were always changing. So then I was like, well, that was stupid, because now I have to reteach. I did something important early.
Right.
And it was, and then 10 kids dropped the class, and I got 10 new ones.
And then their electives changed, and then blah, blah. Right. Totally.
And then I'm like, well, that now,
yes.
Right. And then other practical things too. Right. So like, that's one of them. Also, you don't always get the right energy when you start that fast with kids, because they kind of are like, well, all right, I guess she's all business and this is how it is. Like, there's not that time to start the beginnings of building relationships, right, and cultivating, you know, all the other working parts of your classroom, you know, how you're going to foster discussion and you're going to work together. Like, if I haven't taken the time to start to build that part of community, it doesn't matter how fast I started curriculum, because they're not going to engage with each other because they don't care about each other.
Well, because they don't know each other, right? And they haven't been, I'm not going to say, well, yeah, given the opportunity, but they also haven't been trained that this is how we do things. Yeah, no, and there's a fine line, because you also don't want to wait too long. Like you were saying, like, you don't want to go too slow, because if you go too slow, you go, I have lost the train. Yeah. I don't know where I am. Is this the good place or the bad place?
Yes. Where are we? Yes. Uh-huh. And then they start to get squirmy, and then they start to think that you're going to be some kind of way about whatever. And you're like, because then you start to like crack down, and they're all like, what?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to do icebreakers for 10 weeks.
Icebreakers. I hate icebreakers. So
we talked about that already. I don't mean that. But yes, it takes a little finessing. I mean, my solution, I talk a lot about this in all my back to school resources and stuff, but I think my best advice is to kind of build your lessons and categorize the purpose that they serve. So my three R's are routines, rigor, and relationships. So I have kind of like master list of the things and how those things serve each of those purposes. And then I just try to kind of pull from that list as I need to do the things that need to get done, if that makes sense. And I just try to be very balanced about that back to school approach. And I have found that a roughly 10-day mini unit serves me very well at the beginning of the year. So like I focus my first 10 days on establishing the year-long essential questions. So we do getting to know each other. We do routine stuff in the room, but we also start reading a little bit. We start looking at some poems. We listen to some music, and all of that is tied together. Cause again, it's not just random. It's tied together as a very brief introduction to that year-long EQ. And then the kind of cap on the end of that, so that there's a feeling of this is over and then we're starting unit one.
Right. We're moving in. Seminar. Yeah. Yeah.
So that has helped more or less. Like I do need to separate back to school and unit one.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask us that question is when do you start unit one? And I think you need to name the first thing, which is unit zero.
Yeah. It's like pre-unit basically. Yeah.
That has helped me, like, actually, I have a structure to unit zero that's flexible, but also like has a beginning and has an end. And then we start unit one.
Yeah. Mine, I mean, it's similar, except that like you're talking about something that's on a semester schedule and I'm on a quarter. So your your 10 days is only five for me, right? So it's definitely, but just because it's paced that way for our school calendar doesn't mean it's paced that way for the kids' heads.
Right.
So like, we start on a Wednesday. If I'm doing my pre-unit or whatever for the first 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, they've barely engaged by next Wednesday anyways. You know, so it basically I'm saying all of this to say, like, you know, context of your own personal situation. And also, you might hit it out of the park the first time you teach something. You know, like you might be like, I don't know what you ladies are talking about. That's fine. See if it repeats again the next year. If it does, then you've got something. If you go, oh, it was the kids, or oh, it was something you know what I mean? Like there is some trial and error that has to happen, or trial and triumph, I guess. Yes, I pulled that one out of nowhere. Yeah, you liked it, didn't you?
I did.
But there's still so much like valuable, I'm going to say it, data in repeating things, because then you can just like, yeah, that felt right, or that felt off, or oh no, that was a train wreck. Like a must fix, abort mission.
Yeah. Yes. If you are feeling the pacing struggle, number one, you're not alone. Number two, just keep working on it. You'll get there. But we get it.
Yeah.
We super get it. Okay, let's do number four. It's our last one. It's a little woo. It's a little feely-feely, but I don't know.
So last week, it's not that feely-feely. It's just being a human, if that's feely-feely for you. You like that? Yeah. So last week in that episode, was it last week's episode? It doesn't matter. At some point in time, I talked about there being two versions of me in my earlier career. There was school time me and summer me. Summer me was all of a sudden I came out of the woodwork and I like saw friends and family and I was a person. A little too much of a person, because I also just kind of like let go of responsibilities. This is before kids. But there was still like echoes of this after having kids. School time me had no time for anything ever. And I was or anyone. And I was so stressed out. And it was 100%, 99% a beast of my own making. Because I was completely abandoning everything that I had figured out during summer. It also took me several years to figure out that summer is not the time to just let go completely. Like, yes, take time to relax and reset and then keep being a person in a healthy way. I was coping in unhealthy ways. But like, hold on to some of those that make you feel like you as the school year goes on. Find a way to go into that eyes wide open. Don't make the mistake of being two different people.
And I think a lot of this, the reason I would say it's a mistake is I think that sometimes I planned myself into mm-hmm. that problem. I overplanned, I overdid a lot of things that I could have let go of in order to maintain what I remembered about myself in the summer. Yeah. And there's already going to be stress on top of us during the school year coming from other places, other people, other children, other parents, other everything, the government, you, whatever. Okay. There are going to be reasons that
aliens, be Area 51, UFOs, yes, all of it.
But I could have made better decisions on the planning front.
Yeah.
To have maintained and not, I guess, not even maintained. I can't completely abandon my summer self when I move into the school year. I needed to work, just like Marie,
same,
into being one person, not two different versions of that person.
Right. Being one person who is a little bit more relaxed during certain times of the year and a little bit more busy during certain times of the year, or a lot more busy during certain times of the year, but like not completely different.
Light switch.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that was a mistake for me because I was unhealthy on either end of that spectrum.
Me too.
You know, it not good for, I've talked before on this here and many places about like having nothing to do and quote unquote relaxing is not good for my mental health unless it is structured. That's just something about me. And like, take it or leave it, I know myself. So like moral of this story is know yourself and know what makes you you. For me, that's going to be during the school year. Well, during the summer, making sure that I am keeping myself busy and doing things that make me happy, not because I feel like I should be relaxing, but like projects help me relax. Like I like to exercise parts of my brain, whatever. And then during the school year, making sure that I am keeping up with my relationships that are important to me. And this is a struggle. I'm not saying I am amazing at this. This is hard. Making sure that I'm like answering text messages as they come in, maybe like give myself a day's window. That's my goal to answer. I'm working on it still.
I mean, between relationships, I mean, even like reading,
yeah, like
the things that bring you pleasure over summer break, we shouldn't have to leave them behind
right.
because the school year is starting.
You right. know? Like, cooking. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, there are certain, like you said, things are going to change. They're going to ebb and they're going to flow.
Yeah.
But the summer is a good time to remind yourself of how you want to feel all the time, more or less.
Yes. Teaching is more hard. It's, I mean, an understatement of the year, of the century, of the millennium. Like, teaching is hard. It's draining. It's a lot. It can be all-encompassing. And, like, everybody's teaching situation is different. I will absolutely, like, that's my disclaimer. It doesn't have to eat your soul. Like, you will have seasons. Absolutely. I like 2 years ago had a season of like, this is really heavy for me right now. I was just taking on a lot of like student feelings, blah, 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 blah. But I got through it because I forced myself to remember that I am a person who loves to do teaching. Yeah. To do teaching.
To do teaching.
What? I like yeah. to do the teaching.
But I think that old, like my wise older advice is to, you know, is to before the school year starts, like set your end time, right? Some people would say like, that's contract time. For me, contract time is like, okay, the buses are still there. Like I'm not running out the door at the exact same time the kids are. So maybe I want to tell myself, okay, I'm leaving at 30 minutes past contract time because that's going to give me a moment to mm-hmm. tidy my room, which makes me feel better the next day. It's going to give me time to organize my bag so I'm not bringing home random stuff. And it's going to give me time to socialize and say goodbye to people and check in with my friends down the hall. Like,
right.
make some commitments to yourself that are going to allow you to then plan accordingly. So you're not going to stay after to do, you know, the whatever, if you had a giant list of things for back to school, maybe you're going to do half of that list and the other half you're going to do it another time during the year. This is the time of the year where I mean, I always overwork myself, but I'm always over ambitious during this season. To bring it back to why we're talking about it right now.
Yes, yes.
I would try to do all the things and then all the things during back to school because it's back to school. And that was a huge, huge, huge mistake.
And you know what? Here's the thing, friends. We are not going to stop you from making this mistake if you're already in it. And that's okay.
Go for it.
Like, that's okay. At the end of it, when you go, oh, I overcommitted myself. Just be okay with that and say, yeah, okay, so now I didn't get that and that done, so I'm going to do them in January. And if you don't do them in January, February is still coming. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's okay. If it was that necessary, you would have had it done. So it's okay.
Permission granted to let it go.
Yes. And find Zen. Friends, we hope that you are either able, well, a few things here. Can you relate to the mistakes that we have made because you have made them or are making them and you're seeing yourself with eyes wide open and you just can't stop the train because it's already out of the station? In which case, I hope you feel seen and heard. Or if you can like listen to us old people talk about what we have done over our very long careers. I'm being sarcastic. We're not old. We're so young and vibrant. And like heed our warnings a little bit. Just like let us be the little Jiminy Cricket on shoulder saying, hey, call your mom back. Your friend texted you 3 weeks ago. Text them back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Take a breath. Think about your own mistakes. Maybe, you know, if ours don't resonate with you, if you're going into your second, third, fourth, fifth, 25th year of teaching, take inventory. Where are you at?
We all make mistakes and it's okie dokie.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you so much. Yes. For listening, we hope that the back to school season is going well for you. I am, as we were recording this, I am about a week out from being like really intense in back to school season. So this is helping me gear up. Here we go. I'm ready. Here we go. Let's go. It's going to be so hot because I guarantee the air conditioning's not going to work. Can't wait. It's going to be great.
Oh my gosh. Well, we hope to see you guys over in happy hour to continue our conversation and have some fun with us over there. We love talking to you on happy hour, and I hope that you guys have a wonderful, wonderful back to school season, and let us know how it's going. You can always reach out to us on Instagram. You can reach out to us through email if you really want to write a long note. I mean, we'll listen. So
we're all
keep in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.